Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the River Heights Buzz podcast. This is episode number 130. I'm one of your hosts. I'm Alexa. Candace, she has been so busy with work lately. She is not here tonight again. But my Leah is back joining me for another movie.
Hi, everyone.
Today, we are talking about Nancy Drew, Troubleshooter, the third 1930s movie with Benita Granville. Before we dive in, we have a little bit of news, which is, we're recording this early, so the news has been already out for a couple weeks. We got a game cover.
Yay.
For the new game, which I'm excited and nervous and hesitant all in one go.
Yes, hopefully optimistic, but trying to tamp expectations down.
Yeah.
it's a very pretty cover.
It is. I saw so many comments where people were like, this reminds me of Phantom of Venice, almost.
I could see that. The colors, maybe.
Maybe.
I can kind of see, it's the cobbled square feel.
Yeah. We were talking before we started to record about how it's after what happened with Midnight in Salem. It's just, we don't know how it's going to go. We're hopeful and reserved and cautiously optimistic, like you were saying.
Yes. But, I mean, the screenshots that they gave us last year look nice. I'm just interested to see when we get the game and what it looks like compared to what we've already seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very pretty cover.
Yeah. Yeah. Just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
If you're ready to talk about the movie, my Leah.
I'm totally ready.
Okay. So, like I said, we're talking about Nancy Drew, Troubleshooter. The description for the movie says, when a close friend of the Drew family is accused of murder in a rural community, Nancy, aided by her boyfriend Ted, helps her lawyer father expose the real killers. The release date was June 17th, 1939, and the running time was 68 minutes. I will preface by saying that this episode does include murder and guns. So if this episode you do not want to listen to because you're not comfortable with it, that's totally fine. We have other episodes that you can listen to until the next thing comes out. So I am ready to go and talk about this interesting movie, which I, quite frankly, I kind of like the best out of all of them.
It's one of my top ones.
Yeah.
It's interesting, just as an aside, to see more of the Carson-Nancy dynamic that we kind of got in this one that you don't really get. We haven't really gotten in any of the others. But that's like a mild, not spoiler, spoiler.
And we get a major jealous Nancy.
Yes. Which she's like shown flashes in the other movies, but I think this one was like pretty much the biggest one we've ever seen. If they'd done them in color, she would have been green for most of this movie.
Oh yeah, definitely. But we will get into that in a little while.
Yes.
So we pretty much open the movie and there's a group of people standing outside the sheriff's office in town. And they're talking about Matt Brandon, and everyone thinks that he killed somebody. And I think his name is Henry, I want to say. I think.
Let me see. If I can pull up the cast list real quick.
I feel like they were just saying it so fast. I'm like, who? What's this person's name?
If I could type, that would be helpful. I don't know if they ever... He might not be in the cast list because he's not alive through the movie. Yeah, they don't really mention it anywhere on Wikipedia what the guy's name is. So.
All right. So yeah, Matt Brandon is essentially accused of killing this, I guess, mystery man, all puns intended. And but he's like obviously denying it. Doesn't have anything to do with it. And he gets thrown in jail. Okay. And there's no evidence, which is a problem.
Oh yeah, so, Henry Clark.
Okay. Then we're at the Drew house. Carson's looking through his mail and he gets some mail talking about Matt being in jail for this. Carson called Effie and he's like, we're going to go out to the country. We're going to go see Matt. He's explaining everything to her. And she is so worried that she was going to get fired, which I feel like is a theme throughout all the movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just thinking Hannah's like less competent, like niece or something through the books. So I'm wondering if that was just something that they never really bring up in the movies, but that was like spirit of the character type thing.
Could be. I kind of missed Hannah, though, I will say. Yeah.
But, you know, Effie adds to the comedy.
Yeah.
Of these movies.
She really did.
But yeah. Which is this the one she like tells Carson to kick her or something?
Yeah, okay. That's like really soon and
okay.
of course Carson swears her to secrecy. Nancy then gets home. She was at like a day trip and she was obviously telling Carson everything that's going on. And Carson is holding a rifle.
Yeah.
And he was like, he shot it in the house and he's like, yeah, I did think it was loaded. Did he hit anything major, I wonder, in the ceilings or the walls?
I think it hit the ceiling, but since they don't show anything major other than the hole in the ceiling, I guess not. Because that would have, I guess, definitely been played up for the comedy back then.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was, and I know nothing about guns, but how did it go off? He like just kind of hits it on the ground from as far as I can tell. So, but yeah,
I don't know.
Of course, is giving this speech about how he's going to be an outdoor man and hunt and fish. Didn't even know his gun was loaded.
And even Nancy makes the comment too. Now with it, she's like, you're not the outdoorsy kind of person.
Yeah.
Like, that makes no sense. What's all this about?
Yeah, because he's playing that up because he doesn't want her in the murder case.
Yeah.
So.
And even Nancy, too, is like, we're going on vacation. Why is he taking his briefcase along? He doesn't need this. I'm going to go hide it. But then Effie's like, no. I think he might want to do some work on when you're there. And of course, Effie spills the beans about Matt and he's in trouble. He's accused of murder, all that stuff. And Effie makes a comment about Carson, like kicking her and stuff. And he almost does. And Effie turns around.
It's just like, Mr. Drew.
Well, she almost kind of was asking for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that scene is wild. Of course, Nancy, like, immediately gets all the information out of Effie, not even, like, 5 minutes after Carson's sworn her to secrecy.
So then the trio gets to Matt's house, and they meet Apollo. And Apollo is kind of like, I don't know if you call him, like, a ranch hand or just, like, the help with the property, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he's supposed to be. It's very unclear.
Yeah. But, he's just like, what I'm just going to call him, he's like, he helps out with everything, like, around the property, I guess. So Effie, Carson, and Nancy make it inside the house. Carson's like, no, this isn't the greatest place to stay. Like, it's far away from the water. Like, the furniture is breaking. All that kind of stuff. And Nancy's like, no, it's fine. It's homey, you know, we can stay. Then Edna Gregory is coming, and Apollo hides a chicken behind his back.
Yeah.
That he's going to cook for his dinner, and he's very jittery about it.
Yeah, well, I guess technically he's stealing said chicken. So.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
No. But, and he's got it, like, upside down behind his back, too. I don't know if you caught that, but it's just fully upside down. Does he try to, like, no, that's later. He tries to tuck it under his shirt or something, but, yeah, the chicken, I feel bad for that chicken.
He didn't deserve to die.
He didn't deserve to die or be held upside down. No. But, which that whole scene with Carson sitting in the chair and it just breaking on him is one of my favorite sequences in like that whole section of the movie.
Yeah. I had seen this picture and it was talking about, you know how there's always, we've heard the quote, like, why did the chicken cross the road? So this picture showed like a bunch of chickens. One is in a casket because he's dead. And there's the priest reading and there's like a few like other ones. And the priest goes, maybe you never know why he wanted to cross the road. Now we finally know that he's on the other side.
Oh my gosh.
It's like something along those lines. I'm like, that is very true. Very sad, but it's also funny.
Yeah. Yeah. That is. Yeah. But I shouldn't have chuckled at that, but it is kind of funny.
Yeah. I just remembered that one with the chicken scene.
Yeah.
So Edna goes in the house and Carson, full on hard eyes. He's mm-hmm. at like love at first sight.
Oh yeah. And then he turns it around on Nancy, making it seem like she's the one that didn't want to stay. And he repeats like word for word everything that she just said to him. And then calls her a child.
Yeah.
Oh, that. I understand Nancy getting mad at that.
Yeah. And it's at different points where he calls her like a child or like little girl and stuff. And like, she's 16.
Yeah.
Like, she's not little anymore.
No. Yeah. That was, I was like, I was there with Nancy, like crossing my arms, like, Carson!
Yeah. Then Apollo comes in the house, and between him and Edna, they're telling the story to Carson, Nancy, and Effie about how Matt got into trouble with like the whole murder thing. Then Nancy and Carson go to town to the sheriff's office to get Matt out of, to release Matt. And one of the deputies, which we learn is Griffith, he's talking about, is it the prosecutor or somebody like coming in for a trial? I want to say.
I can't remember 100%, but that sounds right. Or the judge.
Someone in part of like the legal system is coming in for all this stuff. Anyways.
Yeah.
So Carson is obviously questioning the sheriff and Griffith about all, like, there's no body, the body wasn't found, and there's no physical evidence that Matt killed Henry, so he's being wrongfully put in jail as of right now.
Yeah. And so then I don't think at this point there's any evidence that Henry is even dead, like he's just missing,
because it's been, I think they said it was about a month or so.
Yeah,
so it's like no one knows where he is.
Yeah.
Matt gets released, but obviously the deputy's not happy about it. He wanted Matt to stay in jail. Matt wanted to talk with Carson about things, so Matt let Nancy drive his old station wagon. And Nancy's going to go over to Ted's place to invite him over for dinner, because they're going to throw, like, this party for, like, Matt's release, essentially. Nancy makes it over to Ted's cottage to invite him to dinner. But of course, she ends up hitting the boat that he's making and knocked him over.
I think this is about the worst driving we see out of Nancy.
Yeah. And even to, like, I'm jumping ahead a little bit. At two different points, Nancy almost gets herself and Ted into car accidents because she's not watching the road.
Yeah, well, and at the very beginning of the movie, like, when she gets home, she runs into the back of Carson's car.
Yeah. Like, where did she get her license from, is my question.
I don't know, because they definitely needed them back then. But,
yeah,
I don't know. But it just seems like every movie Nancy's driving gets a tiny bit worse. And then between the last one and this one, we had, like, a giant leap.
Yeah. Oh, boy. It's just...
Poor Ted.
It bothers me.
Yeah.
So Nancy ends up getting Ted a gift, and it was a new watch, and it cost a nickel. She said that it doesn't always run, but if you tap it a few times, it'll start working again. And so as Nancy's doing it, Ted's like, oh, like, careful there, Nancy.
Yeah. She's, like, hitting it, like, as hard as she can. That's her version of a tap.
Yeah.
But the nickel, in keeping with my money conversion, a nickel today would be worth, in American dollars, $1.12. And then let me do the inflation really quick. 1939. It would be worth $1.04 Canadian. So still kind of cheap.
Yeah. It's like about a dollar difference.
Yeah.
Either way, from then versus now. Then Nancy recruits Ted to help her with Edna, because Nancy literally calls her a siren because she, like, essentially cast a spell on Carson.
Yeah, so. She does not make her dislike a secret.
Yeah.
It is full blown throughout the entire movie that Nancy does not like Edna.
Yeah. Then we're back at Matt's house. And poor Effie. She was looking around at some wild berries. And then she goes and admired some poison ivy. And so Carson and Matt were lathering her in cream to help with that. And I felt bad.
Yeah, because it's, like, from the very tips of her fingers all the way up, all over her face. Yeah. She was a mess.
Yeah.
I felt really bad for her. Does she appear at any point throughout the rest of the movie? She's just... Yeah. So she's just, like, really out of it this time, at this point.
Yeah. It's going to take at least, I would say, probably a few days for it to, like, clear up.
Yeah.
So. Oh, well.
Yeah. Which, they were, she was supposed to make the celebratory dinner. So, since she's out of commission, Carson suggests that Edith do it. Is that her name, Edith?
Edna.
I don't know why I just confused that. But he said that Edna would be a good cook. Let's let her do it. And Nancy, in her rage, jealousy, says that she will do it. And she didn't study the domestic arts for nothing.
Yes. Yeah. And poor Nancy, she's like, it's like such a struggle bus over there when she gets started.
Yeah. Of course, I guess with her and Carson being as wealthy as they are, all of their stuff's, like, electric. And Matt has this wood stove and a water pump in the kitchen for water. And so it's just her running around the kitchen struggling.
Yeah. Ted comes over at this point, and he's gets himself roped into helping Nancy make the dinner. And he's like, what are the potatoes doing on the floor?
Yeah.
And then he's like, that's where we cook them.
Yeah. I think, one of the best lines of the movie. Because she's like half crying and she's just like, this is where we cook them. It's so funny.
Yeah. And then Edna's coming over now with a cake. And is this the part where Apollo's eating that poor chicken? Or is that later?
I think it's later because Nancy wants him to dig up the flower.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He might have been cooking it. I can't remember. But Edna comes over. She's got the cake.
Yeah.
Right, it's a cake. And then
she's got the cake.
She and Carson take over. And this is another instance where he calls Nancy a little girl and sends her outside to basically pick flowers.
Yeah, because they did send them out to get some watercress for the salad. And Nancy brings Ted along.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Which, and I'm not sure Nancy would have picked the watercress for the salad.
No.
Because at that point, Ted has also met Edna. And he is also immediately infatuated with her.
Uh-huh. She is a good-looking woman. I will give her that.
Yeah, but it's so funny. And there's this whole bit before Carson sends them out where, like, Carson and Ted are fighting over who can get her ingredients the fastest.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Just went from one thing to the next, and Nancy's all obviously still in a huff about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nancy and Ted went outside to get some watercress for the salad. Nancy found that rare tropical plant, and so on the way back, she called Apollo, and she wanted him to go dig it up for her. She had marked it with Ned's handkerchief. And this is the part where Apollo was cooking and eating that chicken that he had stolen from earlier.
Yeah.
And he was literally almost like had a case of a jitterbug.
Yeah. Well, he put it up his shirt to hide it. And he had just taken it off the fire. And Nancy just, for being a detective, just doesn't notice or doesn't say anything. And it's actually Ted that speaks up afterwards.
Yeah.
Of course, Nancy's in a tizzy over that flower. So I guess we can excuse her for not noticing because of that.
Yeah.
But it's funny because Ted says something like, I'd eat the chicken first. Because Nancy was going to send Apollo to go dig up the flower. And Ted's just like, I'd eat the chicken first if I were you. It can wait.
Yeah. So then inside the house, the group is having dinner. Matt said that it's the best dinner that he's ever had. And Nancy is not eating her cake because she doesn't, apparently, quote unquote, doesn't like it. Only because Edna made it.
Yeah.
Apollo's outside. He's digging up the flower that Nancy asked him to get for her. And he found a dead body. Which at this point, we don't know who it is yet.
But we can guess. But I do like how he did that where he only kind of pulls up the shirt. Like you don't actually see anything. And he just pulls up the shirt and then he just takes off running.
And it's almost like they sped it up because it's that really fast running, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
And he just runs and hops over the fence and he's just out of there. Immediately goes to the sheriff.
Yeah.
And I feel
obviously... Go ahead.
I feel like the implication is that he just ran from the field all the way to town to the sheriff.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how far away the house is from town, but that's a funny thought in a way.
Because who knows how long it took him to get from the house to the sheriff's office. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, Apollo went to the sheriff's office, told them about the body. The sheriff and the deputies, they identified the body as Henry. And so the sheriff and the deputies arrest Matt, because obviously the body's on Matt's property. And Nancy's vouching for him, saying that Matt wouldn't hurt a fly. But of course, still goes to jail. Matt is. Carson's going to work on the case right away. And Nancy was going to go see if she can do some more sleuthing. But Carson's like, there's not much you can do right now. It's nighttime and it's dark. And yeah, just wait for like the next day kind of thing. The next morning, Nancy and Ted are talking on the porch. And of course, Ted's not even like really paying attention to what Nancy's saying.
Yeah, he's like half asleep on the porch. And Nancy's just spitting out how she feels. Because in a way, she inadvertently caused the body to be found. And that's like weighing on her.
Yeah. And then Edna shows up and she's inviting Nancy and Ted to the party that she's hosting that night. And she mentions that Carson's going to be her date, essentially. Nancy is obviously not thrilled about it. And Carson comes out and he asks Edna to help him pick out some new clothes, because he's only got the one nice kind of like suit that he brought along. Carson and Edna take off, and Nancy, she thought of the idea about how to find out about that special plant that she had found. Mm-hmm. And it's called an arbensis plant. And that's like the main clue. And this is the one on the road that Nancy almost crashed the car.
Yeah.
She's not really paying attention. Yeah. And of course, Ted is like, has to save the day. Nancy and Ted then go to Mr. Griffith's house to look at his greenhouse and his plants. They meet the pilot. His name is Chuck, I think.
Had it pulled up. Yeah. Chuck Marley. Which Chuck is in quotations, so apparently it's a nickname, but they don't give an actual first name. It just says Chuck on the cast list.
Okay. And then Chuck says that they can go on ahead and look at the plants in the greenhouse. Griffith comes back, and he was not very happy to hear that Nancy and Ted were looking at the different plants and the flowers. Nancy made up the story saying that an aunt of hers got homesick, and an arbensis was the only plant that helped her like feel better. And during this whole thing, the camera panned to the arbensis plant, because like all the different plants are labeled.
Yeah.
And they didn't quite make it to that plant to see like, yeah, Griffith has it.
Which is I know they have to do it because then the movie would be over. But I was like, no, they were so close, because Nancy was like one or two plants away from it. I was like, Nancy, come on, just be a little faster.
On the way out, Nancy had seen, I guess, like a plant catalog just sitting close to the door. So she picked that up and took it with them. Griffith noticed, and he's like, they took the catalog. We got to get rid of this plant. There's like all these different moving parts of it still happening. And of course, so Ted found the arbensis plant in the catalog. Nancy almost gets them into a car accident again because she's looking through this catalog. Like, Nancy, why didn't you just let Ted drive if he has a license?
And he drives the ice truck in the one movie, so he has to have a license.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know why. He didn't just drive.
She's still in Matt's car. Like, she's in Matt's car the whole movie.
Yeah.
Which is odd, because didn't they take her car to the lake? Like,
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
So, yeah, they're driving around in the old station wagon.
Yeah.
It's not, it's like very noticeable.
Yeah. Oh, well. Then Nancy and Ted made it to the telegram office, and she had Ted pay the man for like for the information that they were looking for. And the man in the office gave Ted some advice, was to stay away from women, and that way you can save your money, essentially.
Yeah. Which that Ted mentions that Nancy owes him more money, so the total was $250 for both the telegram and whatever else she owed for him. So I did that conversion. And $250 in US American dollars, USD, is $55.81 today. And let me do the Canadian one. It's $51.90 today.
Okay.
So, in Canadian. So, Nancy's running up a right little tab.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, she always pays it towards, at least in some way, so.
Yeah.
But I think it's funny that she made them wait there, and they just have been like ticked. Ted's drawing his boat because he just wants to be on his boat on the lake. And then Nancy's like making him play tic-tac-toe on the other side. And they've like completely covered this chalkboard.
Yeah. Then we see Nancy, Carson, and Ted at the flower shop looking for the arbensis flowers. But then we see like this big like box. I guess it has like order slips and stuff inside. But of course, like the person working isn't allowed to open the box until the owner comes back the following morning. And all the while, Chuck is in the shop listening to the conversation. And this leads to something that's going to happen later on at the party. Now at the party, Nancy ends up seeing Carson and Edna holding hands and talking, and she's not happy. Carson was going to go talk to Nancy just to, I guess, kind of smooth things over, I want to say. But he overhears her talking to Ted, saying that if Carson marries Edna, she won't be able to stay in the house and she's going to run away.
Yeah. Which.
And that's like major.
Yeah. At first, she didn't realize it was Carson and Edna. So she's telling Ted how cute it is that this old couple is still holding hands and how romantic it is. And then when they realize it's Carson, her tune immediately shifts to the other side.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if it was just me, but it kind of almost sounded like Carson had already sort of proposed to Edna, because she's just like, oh, it'll never work because Nancy doesn't like me. And he's like, nonsense, of course it'll work. And then that's when he gets up to find Nancy and overhears her talking about running away. So I don't know. That's just the feeling I got.
Yeah. And even like for next week's episode, because I'm just throwing this out there. We already recorded that one. That one's already good to go. Edna's not even mentioned.
Interesting.
I just remember that. Edna's not even mentioned in the last movie.
Huh. Guess it was a summer romance, I guess.
I guess.
That's wild.
And I just remembered some news I forgot to mention earlier. I'll mention it later. Okay. When we're done. So then they're still at the party, and someone comes running saying that the nursery is on fire, and Griffith and Chuck were the ones that purposely set it on fire because they did not want Nancy, Carson, and Ted to find those slips.
Yeah.
The order slips to say that they were the ones that had gotten those flower orders.
Yeah.
Ted decided with Nancy to shove two men to get them to fight so that he could sneak into the nursery to get the box. But then, of course, Chuck goes in after him to prevent Ted from bringing the box out, to just let it burn.
Yeah.
So then afterwards, Carson gave Ted specific instructions to make sure that Nancy gets back to Matt's place, because, like, enough is enough. I don't want Nancy to get hurt. Like, we'll keep solving this case. And he ends up sending, he found some evidence, and he found a bullet from a .22 Hartley pistol, just to see if it's the same, I guess, the same gun that was used to kill Henry.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's another thing that they could do to help prove Matt's innocence.
Yeah, I think they found... Did they find the bullet when they found the body? Is that how they found it? I'm guessing
so. I guess. Because they... Then we learned that they're from a... Because Apollo had essentially, like, kind of seen what had happened. And he's like, there were two shots. And it almost looked like fireworks. And one of them... One of the bullets must have missed. And the other one hit Henry and killed him. So I guess that was how it kind of worked out.
Yeah.
And of course, like, Apollo was scared because he thought he saw ghosts during that whole thing. But it wasn't a ghost. It was just all right. That commotion happening. And poor Ted. Nancy sends Ted in the barn at the Griffith place to kind of check around, make sure there's no ghosts or anything. Then Ted, what did he get hit by? Like, flour or something? Something light.
Yeah, I think he knocked something over and got covered in flour. And right as Nancy is telling Apollo, there's no such thing as ghosts, here comes Ted, all in white.
And they all, Nancy and Apollo, just take off running scared. And Ted is like, like, he's trying to say, like, that it's him, not a ghost, too.
Didn't Apollo run through the fence that time?
Yeah, he didn't jump over, he went right through.
That was a good scene.
Yeah. The next morning, Nancy and Ted called Griffith saying that the sheriff needs Griffith to get to town, essentially so that the two of them can snoop Griffith's property. Just, like, for clues and stuff. Here's the thing. Nancy and Ted pull into the property just as Griffith is leaving the property. So how did he not see them, like, right there beside him?
1939.
Or see him in the rear view. Apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting that Ted even makes the point of saying, no, you need to park where you can get away, because Nancy was just going to pull in and get out, and he made her, like, turn around in a circle so she was facing the exit. Because they only have, like, 20 minutes to search.
Yeah. Yeah, 20 minutes is essentially the amount of time for Griffith to get to town, see the sheriff, and then come back.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And that's only if he doesn't drive fast.
Yeah.
They're banking on a lot of variables here.
Yeah. So the two of them were searching around the barn looking for the gun that was used to kill Henry. Ted found the bullet stuck in one of the posts. While they were searching, Griffith obviously made it to the sheriff's apartment. Sheriff was like, no, didn't call you. It must have been, like, some prank if it was April Fool's Day. That would have been, like, a prank that the guys would have played on him, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then poor Ted, he got himself stuck on the ropes that were hanging around. And Nancy was like, quit playing, Ted.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not playing, I'm stuck.
Yeah, he's fully upside down, suspended by one ankle.
Yeah.
So Nancy cuts the rope and then just lets him drop down.
Yeah. And during that whole thing, he kind of knocked like one of the floorboards, and that's where the hidden gun was that was used to kill Henry. So then Griffith got back to his place. Nancy was like, toss the gun into the hayloft. But instead of tossing the gun into the hayloft, Ted got it on one of the nails that was sticking on one of the beams.
Yep. Ted's watch had stopped, and they thought they had more time than they did. And yeah. So my thing is, that was like a very, that was Ted's luck. And when it comes to throws.
Yeah. Griffith gets back. He goes into the barn, confronts the two of them, and they're like, no, we don't have the gun. It's not here. Didn't see it. Then Griffith is like, he essentially locks them into the barn for a while. Is it at this point where he tells Chuck to make it seem like an accident?
Yeah.
In the plane?
Well, I think Chuck hasn't come back yet, but that's already the plan, like, in Griffith's mind, which is why he locked them in the barn, because Chuck was out on a crop dusting side hustle.
Yeah. Yeah. So then Nancy was like, why don't we just make a smoke signal to get help? Ted says that he had talked to Apollo, saying that if they didn't get back in a certain amount of time, Apollo was to go see Edna, and she had to go to the police just to get some help.
Yeah.
So then Nancy, neither one of them had matches, so that smoke signal was out the window. And Nancy was like, I'll just use my scarf just to see if that can do anything to get us help. And they didn't know that there was a bull on the property.
Which, I mean, is good for them. Like,
yeah.
Ultimately. Also, yeah. The gun fell off the nail almost as soon as the barn door got closed.
Yeah. And luckily there were no bullets in that gun either.
Yes.
I will
that
say.
That one did not go off.
So then, of course, like, the bull comes in because he sees the scarf being waved around. So the two of them get out. And then they're trying to make an escape. And then Chuck comes from one side. Griffith is from the other side. And this is the point where I think the two of them get in the plane.
Yep.
With Chuck. So.
Held at a different gun point.
Yeah.
There are a lot of those in this movie.
So now the three of them are up in the plane. Nancy, Ted, and Chuck. Chuck jumps out. And as soon as Chuck jumps out, Ted is like, get back in here. I'm like, how can he get back in when he's already out of the plane with his parachute?
Yeah. Yeah. We love Ted.
Poor Ted.
He's not the brightest.
No. Ted's flying the plane now. Yep. And he only knows what he read in books. Mm-hmm. And he's like, essentially this right now, and then another point, he's making a nosedive straight towards the ground. He didn't realize it until Nancy said something. It's like, yeah. Oh gosh.
Which I've heard that's a thing. I've had some friends
really?
That have done. Yeah, I have some friends that when we were friends, they hadn't done it, but were preparing to get a pilot's license. And you've got to be real careful up there with, like, keeping a good sense of where the ground is. Because
yeah.
It's very easy to, especially when the plane is flipping like it had been when Ted was getting into the seat, it's very hard to keep a sense of where's the ground and where's the open air.
Yeah. So then they're just flying around like constantly until they eventually land. Then Griffith and Chuck, they go to town and really tell, because Carson's at the sheriff's office, they tell Carson and the sheriff, Nancy and Ted were in a plane crash. They're like, the two of them stole the plane. Like, sorry to tell you that. But they hear the plane flying around outside. So they all go out, and Carson's like, isn't that your plane?
Yeah.
Like, they don't know how to fly a plane.
Yeah. Which, for only so reading a book, Ted does a remarkably good job.
Yeah. So then Griffith and Chuck are, like, handcuffed and taken away into the sheriff's office for now until they get everything figured out. And then Nancy and Ted, they finally landed the plane in an open field. Mm-hmm. It's bouncing around, and Carson is in the car with Edna and the sheriff, and the plane manages to bounce right over it.
Yes.
Which is very lucky.
It is very lucky. And this is my favorite bit of 1939 magic, because if you look closely, you can see the wires connected to the plane to make it bounce.
We didn't even pay attention to that.
It's for a very split second, and even if you pause it right on that moment, it's basically could just be like coloring iffiness on the film, but it clearly goes in a straight line from in front of the plane to the plane wing, and then from the plane wing back off screen. It's just one continuous, like, straight line of wires. It's like four of them.
Cool.
Yeah. Of course, I did a lot of film classes and, like, behind-the-scenes stuff, so I see those things probably more than the average person can. It's actually easier to see them when the movie is playing, because when the plane bounces, it kind of rocks, so you can kind of see them. But, yeah, that's a thing to go back and look for.
Yeah. I'll probably have to go back and, like, just watch that part.
Yeah.
And keep an eye out for it.
Yeah.
So yeah, the plane finally lands, and then Ted gets out, and Carson's obviously still really worried because Nancy hasn't, like, popped up yet. And so she finally pops up, and she gives Carson a hug, and surprisingly, she gives Edna a hug, too.
Yep. And it's so funny because they find Ted first, and Carson's basically just like, not you, and just, like, passes
Where's my daughter? On.
Yeah, he's looking for her, and then all of a sudden, out from the hay bale, you just hear, Dad! Dad! Daddy! And they're, like, running for each other, like, digging through the hay, and she hugs him, and then she's just like, oh, Edna! And just latches on to her. Because it's not just a hug, it's just like a, you're my new person forever and always, I will never let go type of hug.
Yeah.
And then immediately faints. And then
I know, as soon as, like, they say, like, talk about the airplane, yeah, Nancy faints.
Yeah. Which, I mean, then I probably would, too, if I was just in a plane crash.
Yeah. Something scary like that. Yeah. Oh, boy. Then we learn that Griffith, was he stealing something? And Henry found out. So then he was going to turn in Henry was going to turn in Griffith and Chuck.
Yeah, they were, like, embezzling, I think. Because Henry and Griffith were partners in the farm. And I think Chuck and Griffith were stealing money from the crop dusting, maybe?
Maybe.
I can't remember, but yeah, they were stealing from the farm, and Henry was going to turn them in. But since Henry and Uncle Matt were having a feud, Griffith used that to his advantage, should the body be found.
Yeah. And then as Griffith was burying Henry's body, I guess some of the seeds from that special plant, they dropped out of his pocket, I guess, or something.
Yeah, and that's it was on his clothes.
And that's why the plant started to grow. So.
Yeah, because Nancy mentions it's only about 4 weeks old.
Yeah.
Which, I guess,
about the amount of time.
Yeah. I guess technically they had set up that she was doing flower stuff, so she would know that information.
Yeah. And then after that, Ted finally finished his boat and it is ready to go. He named it after Nancy.
Which is sweet.
Yes. Nancy gave Ted something to christen the boat with. And as she was christening it, she made a hole in the boat. And so Nancy and Ted get in the boat. They take off. They go in the water. He's like, it's floating. It's going. It's working. And then the water starts filling in the bottom. And Ted is like, oh, of course. It's with you. There's always something.
Yeah. I should have known I was inviting trouble naming it after you. Yeah. And then Nancy just climbs on him to keep herself out of the water. Yeah. Which I think is the funniest part.
Yeah. And that's the end of the movie.
The end of the movie. And the adults are laughing on shore.
Ted, I will say, I think that... Go ahead.
Ted's Navy dreams are crushed.
Yeah. He could still join the Navy if he wanted to.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that I like this one the most out of the four movies.
I think I like Hidden Staircase better just because it's you can see where the book came, it came from a book. I do like this one. It's my favorite of the ones that I have seen where there's not a direct book tie-in. I haven't seen Nancy Drew Detective yet, so I can't say whether or not, I can't say where that one ranks yet. I haven't watched it in a while. However, now that I've watched the other three, I know that there's a sequence in that in Detective that's one of my favorite of the 30s. So I'm interested to see where that one will ultimately end up ranking. But Nancy Drew Reporter is definitely my least favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really like that one so much, to be honest. Ugh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Here's my little bit of news that I forgot to mention earlier. So, like I said, about halfway through the movie, we already recorded next week's episode. Next week's episode is the final movie, Nancy Drew and the Hidden Staircase. During that recording, I mentioned that I had done an interview with Susie from Susie Should Be Sleeping. It's her podcast. And she's also the creator of Lemon Pepper Creations. So we kind of tag team on an interview. And it's coming out this Friday. Okay. Finally decided. Not this week, not next week. And we got to interview. Do you want to guess, Mylia?
Oh, no.
Who it is?
Oh, gee.
Before I say.
There's so many people it could be.
They're from the games. One game in particular.
Oh, no. I don't know. Lay it on me.
It is returning guest Ken Boynton, who's the voice of Carson in the games.
Ooh.
And his daughter, Claire,
okay,
who is the voice of young Nancy in Silent Spy.
Oh, that'll be some... That probably was so much fun.
It was.
Oh my gosh. That's so cool.
Yeah. It's a... Is the last time that I talked to Ken, it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was last year or a couple years ago, year and a half, whatever it was. And friend of the pod, Hugh, he came on with me for that interview. So, yeah, the second time around for Ken, first time for Claire, that was a lot of fun. So it'll be available on our podcast and on Susie's podcast. I'm just not sure when she's going to upload it on her end. So she'll have the audio and the video, I think.
Okay.
What's going to happen. Don't quote me. You know, anything can happen. Just wait and see.
That's so much. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the things I love about this podcast is that you guys get all of these interviews with all the different people that have a hand in different Nancy Drew iterations.
It's fun talking to all these different people, I will say. And me and Candace have said it before. If we hadn't started the podcast, I don't think we would have been able to like reach out to all these different people from the games and the shows and the not the movies, but like the 2019 CW Nancy Drew show. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's just so cool to hear everyone's take on their different projects. Mm-hmm. And just kind of like the behind the scenes stuff, you know, and just anything in general.
Right.
You know, so yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. But yeah, that's exciting. I'm happy for you guys. Kind of jealous that I wasn't there.
The day that I interviewed them was the day after we had recorded, I think it was Nancy Drew Reporter.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I remember you mentioning something that back then about it.
Probably that's... something.
Yeah.
So thank you, Mylia, for coming on for another movie.
Always. I will I will take any opportunity I can to talk about Nancy Drew.
And you're coming on for next week's episode as well for The Hidden Staircase. The last movie. Yes. And I think we already, Candace is in that episode as we recorded that one. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was there for that. I remember that.
Yeah. So, stay tuned, everyone, for the interview on Friday. And stay tuned for next week's episode with Mylia.
Yay.
The Hidden Staircase, the final 1930s movie with Benita Granville. And yeah. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone.
You can find us on Instagram at River Heights Buzz. You can email us at riverheightsbuzz@gmail.com. You can join our Facebook group, the River Heights Buzz Podcast Central Buzz. And you can follow us on Twitter at River Heights Buzz with just one Z. Thank you so much for listening, and make sure to keep an eye out for our next episode.